Hello everyone, you are tuning in to the 98th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. This podcast, which is weekly usually, has not been so recently. One week it was our major rain that prevented it, and last week my voice had gone for a holiday. It is only now coming back slowly, as you can see here. My path to wellness has been only with skipping and taking seasonal, skipping meals, and when taking food, taking the seasonal and my body appropriate diet. And reminders and recommendations from our resident Ayurveda, Dr. B, really helped. So what do we do today? I thought we will keep it light and more chatty mode rather than information mode. So today I'm going to share a recipe, a giant recipe. The recipe itself is very simple and small, but I think, you know, I will chat about the recipe, chat about its ingredients, and as we go along, and at the end, the recipe will be done. How is that? So, if you're wondering which food to take and which one to actually remain healthy when the season is wet, rainy, and moist, read up Dr. B's recommendation on monsoon food. It came in our news and notes a few weeks back. My take home from that one page list is, you know, something like I also repeat in my podcast several times: eat warm food, avoid eating raw food like raw salad, etc., and avoid eating fermented food. This was kind of new to me, and also having carbonated drinks. Avoid having carbonated drinks. Mild lentils like mung are excellent. Greens, and this is not just from the list that I'm speaking for myself. Eat greens with caution when it is not raining, and you know there are some days of breaks after the rain, or when it is raining, it's only a sprinkle like it's happening now. Same with the wild weedy greens. When not eating leafy greens, there are local vegetables, white pumpkin or vellapushnikai, ash gourd, that is. And then pumpkin. I have a huge, wonderful volunteer pumpkin growing in my backyard. Raw papaya, used as a vegetable, or ripe as fruits, local pomegranates. And what I like is the recommendation of spice, how to spice your food appropriately. Spice it up with black pepper, asafoetida or hing, jeera or cumin, and of course, turmeric or curcumin. And absolutely standard in all this time is ginger, you know, fresh grated or dried, as you know your recipe calls for it. We have a few days of break in the rain. When it rained, it was only a spray. This is a good time to cautiously eat some wild weedy green. I thought, since I'm getting back after a while to do this podcast, why not share with you this easy recipe, which is also very pretty. And somehow, you know, the prettiness of it and the simplicity of it is very uplifting, at least for me. You tell me after you have tried it. I was influenced by a recipe shared by Surabhi Sehgal, but this version is primarily wild weedy and with so many twists that it little resembles the original. But I have incorporated local, wild, seasonal food and ingredients in making my wild green hummus. Not everything in the recipe is wild, but it uses wild one also. You can substitute any of them and get a whole new hummus. So here we go. You will need parsley, Asastasia gangetica. This is in my book. It is called Gangetic Primrose. And locally, when my edible weed book highlighted that it is edible, the initial Bravehearts, who came for the weed walk and felt confident enough over time to start eating, lovingly call it mushroom spinach for its mild, earthy aroma. Of the Auroville Eatery, Solitude Cafe, and Krishna McKenzie, he uses it. By the way, if and I think also Mark's Cafe, Matilda uses a lot of the wild weedy greens that are in the book. By the way, if you are new to foraging, it is not a bad thing to be cautious. Be cautious. I always tell those who come for my weed walks or workshops that you start with the 40 weeds in the book. They are found anywhere in India, anywhere in the tropical world, and several of them are found even in the temperate areas during summer. So you start with them. I have known people who have trained themselves just with the book since they could not come for the weed walks. You can do so too. After you know at least 5 plants from the book, like the back of your hands, then only you start eating, not before. Once you have started eating, do not throw your caution out. You know, there are a lot of wild mushroom growing in this season. In my view, it is more than we usually had, say about even 10 years back. Suddenly there are more of these. You have to be much more discerning about mushroom than even wild weedy plants. I would say do not eat it unless you're 100% sure. Mushrooms also should be picked with caution if they are edible. Strictly not more than 1/4 of what is growing, just like how you would need to harvest the weeds. But here for mushrooms, you may be only able to pick 1 or 2 when you know for sure it is edible. And then that 1 or 2 you are picking for probably several people. Work with that. Do not pick more. Do not, say, oh, okay, we are 10 people, so let me collect a few more. Don't do that. Because it has a lot of benefit to the soil. And also it completely depletes the resources if you pick them without caution. But remember, all mushrooms are edible at least once. Do you get that joke? It's a dark joke, meaning you can die eating the wrong one. Several can make you very, very sick. So as soon as you see mushrooms popping up around you, appreciate them, photograph them. I may soon actually hold a workshop on what and how to photograph them. Stay tuned. I'll announce it in my Instagram and Facebook for sure. These are named Edible Weed Walk. If this Instagram and Facebook pages are called Edible Weed Walk, in case you don't know. And you will see them in our news and notes. As a thumb rule, when you see them, you see a mushroom, be a citizen scientist and do your part to document, but do not think of eating them. Let's get back to our recipe. After, whatever I had already mentioned, parsley and Asastasia gangetica or the gangetic primrose, you can add a few leaves of Vallarai, also known as Gotukola or Centella asiatica. Celery leaves, this is optional. Carpuravalli, Coelus ambionicus, or basil, or you can avoid both and use mushroom as I have. I have sauteed button mushrooms to match the flavor of our mushroom spinach to add to the touch of umami to my weedy hummus. If you wanted, you could also use dried shiitake mushroom instead. Rehydrate them in warm water and then use it like the other mushroom. This would add much more umami. However, unfortunately, not everywhere you can get dried shiitake. So we go with the button mushrooms. A generous dash of good quality wood-pressed sesame oil. A heaping spoon of tahini. You can easily make tahini at home. It needs only 3 ingredients. Sesame seed, which is very local and healthy. Some oil, and it can be sesame oil itself. And a bit of salt. You can catch a lot of recipes, easy recipes online. To continue with our list of ingredients, you can get a few cloves of garlic, juice of 1 big lemon, a bit of asafoetida or hing, if you are using the mushroom, salt, and some coarsely ground black pepper. Make this light, tasty, and absolutely wonderful dip. So this is how much you need: half a cup of chickpea raw. So this you will have to cook. So it will be about 2 cups already boiled. You can get other beans like fava beans or lablab, and mix it with the chickpeas as you wish. I wanted to try one time with steamed mung beans, the same recipe. Or maybe, mix with mung and chickpeas. Let's see. It will work, I think, very well. You will also need 1 tablespoon of tahini, 1/4 cup of fresh parsley, some celery leaves if you are using them. This is a good season to get some nice celery. Often one does not know what to do with the leaves after you have made the soup with the stalks. So you can use it here. But if you are using celery, do not need to use the next ingredient I will read out to you. Fresh basil, please listen to this carefully, because there are several options. One of the options is fresh basil. You will need basil, which is option one, a handful. Then option two is, which if you are using option two, don't use option one, 2 to 3 leaves of Karpuravalli or Coelus ambionicus, as I had mentioned before. Then option three, and again, it will be either of any of this option, 2 dehydrated shiitake mushroom, rehydrated shiitake mushroom, or 1 box of button mushroom, washed, cleaned, diced, and in case of shiitake, cut into small pieces, and then sauteed in butter. You can use butter if you want it to be completely vegan. Use another oil. Just 1/4 a teaspoon of asafoetida and a pinch of salt at the end. These are for the umami. And if you are using rehydrated shiitake, as I said, you will drain the water out and then only cut the strip and saute. By the way, the using button mushroom was the option 4. You will use one of these 4 options. In a way, you can try this recipe with each one of these different options, and you have 4 different recipes of wild weedy hummus. Isn't that wonderful? Asafoetida is a spice that is good to take in the monsoon season, and since it's locally so popular, why not? We continue with the ingredients. 1/4 cup of fresh leaves of Asastasia gangetica, or the gangetic primrose. It is growing absolutely profusely around. So there is, to get that 1/4 cup, you will spend no time. You can use a little more because these leaves are really thin, and when you blend it, it really pairs down. Try to avoid picking leaves from the ground level. Also, do not opt for this hummus if you have not experienced at least a few sunny days after just a spray of shower. If there has been a long stretch of rain and only now cleared, wait for some time before going for the wild weedy greens, though it is very tempting. Add a few leaves of valerai if you have them growing around you. Oxalis or wood sorrel are another option that you can use a handful and add it to the greens. All greens, of course, you need to pay special attention to the wild weedy ones. Pick them carefully, wash them thoroughly, ideally in little warm water, not quite boiling like you would use for blanching, but just warm water. You need juice of 1 lime, 4 to 5 garlic cloves, salt to taste, 1/2 cup of aquafaba. If you don't know what aquafaba is, this is the water in which you cook chickpeas or any other lentils. This water has binding properties that can be used as a substitute for egg whites. It's a good to add that a little because it helps to get the consistency. 2 tablespoons of good sesame oil. You will use 1 tablespoon first for all the frying, and then 1 tablespoon later. Coarsely ground black pepper, this I had mentioned before, and the choice of garnish. Soak the chickpeas overnight and boil them till soft. To the blender, add chickpeas, all the greens, garlic, tahini, lime juice, salt, and some of the aquafaba. Blend into a fine paste. Add a little more aquafaba at a time until you get the right consistency. Transfer it to a bowl and let it stand for 20-30 minutes. Heat 1 tablespoon of sesame oil and drizzle on top. Sprinkle black pepper and then add topping or garnish of your choice. I use some wild weedy flowers and leaf to decorate. Wild weedy flowers and some wild weedy leaves to decorate. You can choose to put a sprinkle of toasted sesame seed if you like. Serve with your choice of bread or crackers. The multigrain crackers that use millets and seeds go very well with this. Enjoy. With that, I'll end here today. I will see you next week, hopefully, and stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.